Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue by singing together from Psalter number 1, stanzas 1 and 2. That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. Psalter 1, stanzas 1 and 2. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, and we'll read together verses 1 through 16. John 16, beginning at verse 1, but first we will hear the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you John 16, beginning at verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing in his presence. Let us pray together. Almighty Creator of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast made all things, and thou hast also created us, the crown jewel of thy creation. And Lord, thou hast made us in thy image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And after thou hast created us, thou could look upon man and all creation, and could say, behold, it is very good, no sin. And Lord, now we read in thy word, because we have sinned against thee, we have rebelled against thee, that thou art also looking upon creation, also upon man, and thou dost not see thy image anymore. We have rebelled against thee. We have become totally depraved, sinful. Sinful in our whole being, in our thoughts, words, deeds, our will, it's all corrupt. And we lie dead in sins and trespasses by nature. And we need thy grace. We need that renewal work of thee. And Lord, we heard in this morning that thou art yet that one who proclaims, as I live, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Oh, may thy precious and everlasting word be blessed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may some have seen it in this morning that they are guilty, that they are the ones who have left thee, and thou hast no pleasure in their death. But we choose death. We chose death in paradise. And by each and every one of our sins, we are again choosing death. O Lord, may sinners become guilty before thee. And what a wonder that thou art yet willing to speak unto us, that we may again on thy day for the second time enter into thy house to hear thy precious word. O Lord, we beg and pray thee, thou who art that almighty, merciful and gracious God, that thou would work mightily, irresistibly by thy word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that dead sinners may be made alive, and that poor needy sinners who have been made alive may be led to that only place of peace, that only place that they can find communion, favor with God, that they can see that precious mediator. Oh, reveal him tonight through thy word. Lord, tonight then we will consider the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask then that thou would bless thy word, that we may see the wonder, the glories of thee as that triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that in thee there is complete salvation for completely lost sinners. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou hast sent thy Son to seek and save sinners. What a wonder. But thou hast also sent out, poured out thy Holy Spirit to apply the word, to give life, to give faith, and to make sinners partakers of those benefits, of those rich benefits that we can never find in ourselves, but that thy Son has merited. He who said, "It is finished." Oh, may we hear of those benefits, and may poor and needy sinners, by the power of the Holy Spirit, not only have faith planted in them, but that that faith that thou hast given, that gift of faith, which is a grace of thee, may be given to be an exercise, that they may not only know who they are, but that they may be given to look away from self, that they may be drawn unto thee. O Lord, we beg thee, thou hast said that thy Holy Spirit would come and show unto thy dear people who thou art, what thou hast done. O, we beg thee, may it be tonight, by thy grace, by thy mercy, that sinners would be born again, but also that poor, needy, guilty, broken-hearted ones, mourning ones, those who are meek in spirit, those who are poor and needy, may be led again, or for the first time, to that only place. Oh, may they see that precious mediator, that precious Savior, who has merited everything for a people who have nothing but sin. O Lord, we beg thee then, give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach the precious word, to explain the truths of the Holy Spirit, of who he is and why he was given, and to give opening to preach the precious gospel. Lord, we beg thee then, have mercy upon us. We ask, Lord, that thou would then remember each one. Thou knowest all the cares and the needs in each one of our hearts and our lives. Lord, remember those who had an opportunity to gather with us tonight, but who had no desire. May we especially beg and pray thee, remember prodigals, sons and daughters, children, others who have left the truth and who are living in the world and have no desire to follow thee, to obey thee, to read thy word, to gather on thy day. They are living according to the own pleasures of their flesh. O Lord, we beg thee, remember them in thy mercy. Awaken them and cause them to return, not only to church, but unto thee. Remember their dear parents who miss them and who mourn because they have gone into the world. O Lord, we beg thee, thou art that almighty, faithful God. Thou art that same one as thou hast explained in the parable of the prodigal son, who was brought to himself and who was given repentance and who returned. Lord, we beg thee, have mercy, give life as thou alone can give, but also to those who have gathered with us, who have come maybe just out of custom, just to quiet their conscience. O Lord, we beg thee then, awaken them also. Whether we are in thy house or in the world, we have the same need. We need thy grace. We need to be renewed. We need to be taught who we are, that we are sin. We need to be led unto that only Savior, that only mediator, to be reconciled with thee. But Lord, remember also all thy dear people, those poor and needy ones, who miss the witness of the Holy Spirit with their spirit, that they belong unto thee. They have so many questions. How could I ever have the grace of God? I'm so sinful, so polluted. I have so many sinful thoughts and desires and affections, and my heart can be so hard again. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, lead them to death and self, that they only can have one place, and that thou would lead them to that only place, to that only Savior, that only Mediator, that they may find peace and hope and joy alone in Him. Lord, we beg and pray thee, then remember us in all our cares and needs for our bodies, but also especially for our souls. Lord, we may acknowledge thee in this past week that the government has not changed that status of the charitable status. Lord, their hearts are in thy hands, in thy mercy. That law has not changed, and may we acknowledge thee. But Lord, may we not only be thankful for this, may we beg thee, work in our nation, work in the hearts of the government with thy irresistible power of thy Holy Spirit, and give the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts. Remember the Prime Minister. O Lord, we beg thee, convert him unto thee, and all those whom thou hast called to rule over us. Oh, may they begin each day on their knees in prayer, begging thee for wisdom and searching the scriptures to know thy will, the way that they are called to govern this nation in obedience unto thee. Lord, have mercy upon us. Wash and cleanse us of all our sins. Also, as a nation, we sin against all thy commandments. Desecrate thy day. Lord, we have taken away all the principal truths of thy precious word, and we have turned it all. We live according to our own imaginations and our own desires. We do not live according to the principle that thou hast created us male and female. We do not live in this nation according to the principle of marriage between one man and one woman. And Lord, we also do not respect life as thou hast created it and holds and upholds life. And thou hast the right at that time to call life to come to an end and to appear before thee. Lord, forgive us of all our sins of euthanasia and abortion. Open the eyes of our government and our nation to see that life is precious, that each one from the moment of conception until natural death is created in thy image, and that we must respect life and care for life. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember also us as parents in our families. Remember us as husband and wife. Give love and faithfulness. Give faithfulness to fathers to be a prophet, a priest, and a king in the home, and that thy word may be opened, and that it may be blessed to our children. Remember all single ones, those who are lonely, who would long to have a partner for life. Lord, provide. All these things are also under thy care and in thy providence. Provide a godly partner, Lord, for life. Remember those who are dating. Care for them. Keep them from sin and evil to live according to their flesh. Lord, help the teenagers who live in this world, so many temptations, and the devil is going around as a roaring lion, longing to destroy thy church, to destroy the family, but also to deceive especially young people. Oh, we beg and pray thee, renew them and give the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts. Lord, remember those who are expecting a child to care for that life in the womb. Help the mothers and care for that life and give life at thy time and thankfulness unto thee. Lord, thou art the one who gives the fruit of the womb. Remember those who long to have a child. Bless the means, Lord. These things are also under thy control. Lord, remember those with special cares and needs. Help them. Bless the means that they may use daily for their life. Help those who care for them. Lord, we beg and pray thee, wilt thou also remember the great need throughout the world for laborers in thy vineyard? also in our denomination, Lord, wilt thou provide men who've been born again, who have thy grace, call them and give that they may surrender and present themselves, and that thou would open the doors. Lord, we beg thee, do above all that we can think and ask, and give that humility before thee, that we deserve nothing, but wilt thou also give that faith, that we may look unto thee, but that we may also have that expectation for thy name's sake, that thou wilt do it. Lord, we may also acknowledge thee, that thou hast given students in the past. Help them, instruct them, help their instructors, Lord. And remember all thy servants, those who are getting older and experience the breaking down of the body and also of the mind. Help them. Remember each one, Lord, and that we may be faithful, faithful watchmen upon the walls, and give the unction of thy Holy Spirit each time that we are called to preach, Lord. Each time is a new time, and without thee we can do nothing. But Lord, we beg thee, don't only give thy help, give thy presence, and give thy blessing upon thy word, that thy kingdom may come, that sinners may be born again, and that thy dear people may be edified, instructed, comforted, reproved, admonished. Lord, thou knowest what they need. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. We beg thee, remember also that family that is waiting to enter into Canada, that may come among us, that we have sponsored. Lord, if it is in thy will, wilt thou open those doors, and that they may come to live among us, and that they may be under the means of grace here, and that it may be a blessing for them, for their children. Lord, we beg and pray thee, bless all efforts in mission work, also locally, as now men also in this congregation may also go to the prisons to bring thy word. Help them, Lord, and bless it. Bless all efforts wherever thy word may be shared. Bless it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we beg thee, look upon us in mercy. Wash and cleanse us from all our many sins. And Lord, we beg that thou would give opening tonight, opening of the ears to hear, enlighten minds, and give a heart, a receptive heart to thy precious word. Take away the hearts of stone. Take away the hearts of unbelief, and give that faith that looks unto thee. Lord, bless thy word, we pray, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 428, stanzas 1, 2, and 10. How blessed are the perfect in the way, who walking in Jehovah's law with pleasure, preserve their piety from day to day. How blessed are they who make his word their treasure, who keep his testimonies and display their love for him, whose goodness none can measure. Psalter 428, stanzas 1, 2, and 10. And the collections for this evening is for the church and the benevolent fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, this evening we come to the eighth article of the Catholic undoubted Christian faith. What we read in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in the Holy Ghost. And remember, those 12 articles, they're Trinitarian. True faith in the heart of a Christian, a true Christian confesses faith in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Faith in all three. And we read at the end of the Athanasian Creed the following. This is the Catholic faith which, except a man believes faithfully, he cannot be saved. So they're saying, he is saying that there must be faith in all three. There cannot only be faith in the Father or only in the Son. No, in the Father, the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. May I ask you already a personal question, congregation? Do you have faith? Do you have true saving faith in a triune God? And this evening, with the Lord's help, we will focus on the Holy Spirit. And we heard from the chapter which was read, John 16, what the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke about the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit, he calls, it's the Comforter, but also the Spirit of Truth. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, would come, and that he would work truth in the hearts of sinners. We read in John 16, verse 7, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So the Lord Jesus Christ calls the Holy Spirit the Comforter. But he also calls it the Spirit of Truth, which we read in verse 13. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. But the Holy Spirit also, the Lord Jesus Christ said, will also glorify him. He will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ unto sinners, and we read that in the following verse. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He shall declare it unto you. So what the Bible teaches about the Holy Spirit is summarized in Lord's Day 20, question and answer 53. So let's read together what we find in the Heidelberg Catechism on page 48 in the back of your Psalter, Lord's Day 20, question and answer 53, of God the Holy Ghost. What dost thou believe concerning the Holy Ghost? First, that he is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. And secondly, that he's also given me to make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. And so with the Lord's help, we will consider the following theme. Confession of faith in the Holy Ghost. Confession of faith in the Holy Ghost. This article is a confession of faith in the Holy Ghost. Two thoughts. First, who is the Holy Spirit? Because we read in that first part of the answer, first, that he is true and a co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. So who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Bible tell us about the Holy Spirit? The second thought is, why is the Holy Spirit given? Because then we read, secondly, that he's also given me. Why? To make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. So confession of faith in the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? And why is the Holy Ghost given, or you could also say the Holy Spirit? So who is the Holy Spirit? What do we read in the first part of that answer, congregation? He is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. So again, we are reminded about God is Trinitarian. He is one God in three persons. And this is a mystery. This is not something that we can explain. This is not something that we can understand. It is something that we are called to believe in as God reveals that it's one God, three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and we consider that in the first seven articles of the Catholic Undoubted Christian Faith, and now the eighth article of God the Holy Spirit. We are called to believe this doctrine. And my prayer is that you may experience this doctrine, that you may experience the Trinity, that you may experience God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. What do I mean? That by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are made alive. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, you become guilty before God, a good-doing God. And by the work of the Holy Spirit also, that you may begin to see hope in another, hope in that only one, that precious mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, for redemption, for reconciliation with God. One and three, three in one. And as that one man said long ago, may all three be for me. That's a blessed people, congregation. Those are the ones who have that only comfort in life and death, that they belong to a triune God. So who is the Holy Spirit? Who's the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a glorious person. He's true and co-eternal with God, the Father, and the Son. So let's take a few moments to search the scriptures and what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit, that we may be brought to hear about him, that we may be brought to believe in him, and that we may be brought also to truly worship him. He is worthy to be worshipped, congregation. And because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So let's first consider the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there we see that the Holy Spirit is a true person, co-eternal with God the Father and the Son. Please open your Bible to Mark chapter 1, because there in the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see all three. Because we hear the Father speaking from heaven, we see the Lord Jesus Christ being baptized, and we see the Holy Spirit descending on him. Mark 1, verse 10 and 11. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So the Holy Spirit we see in that form of a dove. We hear the Father speaking, we see the Lord Jesus Christ being baptized, and we see the Holy Spirit descending upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a true, unique, individual person, one of the three persons in the Trinity. But then I think also, as we read, co-eternal with God the Father and the Son. So equal with God the Father. We see this also by the instruction that the Lord Jesus Christ gave when he called the disciples to go and baptize the nations. Baptize in the name of what? What do we read in Matthew 28, verse 19? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So why did the Lord Jesus Christ instruct the apostles to baptize in those three names? Because it's one God, three persons. The Holy Spirit is also a true person, co-eternal with the Son and the Father. Some say that the Holy Spirit is only a power. He's not a person. But the Holy Spirit is not only a power. He is a true person, co-eternal with God the Father and God the Son. And then I think of the day of Pentecost, when God, upon the merits of Jesus Christ, poured out the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came with power and congregation. We live in one of the most blessed times upon this earth, upon the history of the church. We say it's dark. Yes, it is dark. And yet we live in the most blessed time. Why? Because God the Father sent His Son. He came. He finished. He said it's finished. He ascended to heaven. He's reigning almighty at the right hand of the Father. And God the Father, upon the merits of Jesus Christ, has also poured out the Holy Spirit. And we see what a power that Holy Spirit has, that person, the third person in the Trinity. Because on Pentecost, by the preaching of a sinful man, 3,000 souls were born again, converted, became, had true faith. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. He is the third person. We may not worship just a power. We may not worship nothing but God and God alone. The Holy Spirit is God. So who is the Holy Spirit? He's a very true person in the Trinity. He's co-eternal with God the Father and God the Son. He's the third person. But how else do we know from the Word of God that He is divine? Well, we read in the Word of God, attributes of God. We read of the attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the Bible, God-inspired Word, we read also of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God ascribes attributes as God the Father, but also to God the Son, but also to God the Holy Spirit. Listen to a few. First, God is eternal, right, children? He was from eternity, and He will be to eternity. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the Holy Spirit is also eternal. He's also given the attribute of being eternal. Listen to what we read in Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through, and now listen, the eternal Spirit, offered Himself without spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So we hear the eternal Spirit. The Holy Spirit has the attribute ascribed to Him as being eternal. But also He is sovereign. God is sovereign. He reigns above all things. He is in the heavens and He does whatsoever He pleaseth. But the Holy Spirit is also sovereign. He gives to sinners to whom He will and when He will and to what He will. As He desires, He's sovereign. The Holy Spirit is also given that attribute of sovereignty. Listen to what we read in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 11. But all these worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit, capital letter, Spirit, dividing to every man severally, and now listen, as He will. So the Holy Spirit is sovereign. He gives gifts to men, to whom, and to when, and to what degree, as He will. Who created everything, children? You say God created everything. That's right. But we also read in the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ created everything. But we also read the Holy Spirit was also in creation. He was also the Creator. The Holy Spirit is not just a power. He's a person. He's true. He's co-eternal with God. He's eternal. He's sovereign. And He also created. Listen to what we read in Job 33 verse 4. The Spirit of God hath made me. Capital letter. Spirit of God hath made me. And the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. So who is the Holy Spirit? He's a true person in the Trinity. The third person, he's co-eternal with God. He's given attributes which are only ascribed to God. He's divine. He's co-eternal with God. And he's not just a power. He's not just an influence. He is the third person in the Trinity. May I ask you a question? Can you grieve a power? Can you sin against a power? No, we can't. We can only sin against a person. We can only grieve a person. And we can grieve the Holy Spirit. That shows that he's God. God's children, by their sin, grieve the Holy Spirit. Listen to what we read in Ephesians 4, verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Did you hear that, Church of God? Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Your sin grieves the Holy Spirit, and he, so to speak, removes his influence. That comfort in the heart. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a power. He is to be worshipped. He is the third person. He's God. So who is the Holy Spirit? He is this glorious person in the Trinity, equal with God the Father and equal with God the Son. The Holy Spirit is co-eternal with God. The Holy Spirit is entitled to be worshipped, to be adored. And how much do we think of that? We think of worshiping the Son because of his redemption. And yes, what wonders of his grace. We think of worshiping God the Father because he's the overflowing fountain of good. But Church of God, do we also worship the Holy Spirit? We should. He is to be worshipped and to be adored. The Holy Spirit is absolutely essential. No Holy Spirit, no salvation. My friend, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you do not belong to Christ. You do not belong to Christ. This is what Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 9. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Did you hear it? He is none of his. Maybe this causes a question in your heart. How can a sinner receive the Holy Spirit? Why is the Holy Spirit given? What's the purpose? And how do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? Well, that leads to our second thought. Why is the Holy Spirit given? Let's read again, Lord's Day 20, question and answer 53. What dost thou believe concerning the Holy Ghost? First, that is, he is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. And secondly, that he is given me. Why? To make me by a true faith partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort me and abide with me forever. So how does a sinner, a dead sinner, how does a dead sinner who has no need, no desire, ever receive the Holy Spirit? Does he need to pay for him? No. No. And if he had to, even if he wanted to, what would he pay? Never. Do you need to qualify to receive the Holy Spirit? Do you need to be a certain type of a person? Well, if we have to qualify, then we're also lost because we never qualified. No. What do we read? How can a sinner receive the Holy Spirit? He is given. Sovereignly and freely given. Given to a sinner. Listen to what we read in Ezekiel 36, verse 27. God puts his Holy Spirit in sinners. Listen. And I will put my Spirit within you. God, he seeks. And he puts his Holy Spirit in sinners freely and sovereignly. Nothing from them. They don't qualify. He sends his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit enters irresistibly, powerfully, conquering and capturing that heart and giving new life. Giving new life. And out of that new life, fruits
flow. Fruits flow. He comes, he gives life, and fruits will flow. What's your question? How do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? Already now, I would like to lay that before you. The Holy Spirit is given, a sinner is born again, and there is fruits. Because love is poured in that heart in the moment when the Holy Spirit enters. There's life, and love is poured in that heart. And now that Holy Spirit doesn't only pour love, plants faith already in the beginning, yes? But he also, a fruit out of that love, there comes godly sorrow from the conviction of sin. Because they know then they sin against a good-doing God, and they're convicted of their sin. And out of them being a sinner, and that they sin against a good-doing God, there comes godly sorrow for their sin. How will a dead sinner ever mourn for sin? Not one in this whole world will ever have godly sorrow for sin without the work of the Holy Spirit. None will come to life, and none will have true godly sorrow. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, convicts that they sin against a holy and just God, but he also reveals them as a good God, that he has blessed them so much, and in spite of all those blessings, they sin against him. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, as we read, as the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 16, verse 8, 9, and 10. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. My friend, have you been made alive? And has the Holy Spirit convicted you of sin? But also has he shown you that you sin against the holy and just God, but also a good doing? And has that led to true godly sorrow in your heart? Do you know of mourning because of sin and godly sorrow? No, not the sorrow of the world for the consequences of sin, but godly sorrow, pain in your heart that you sin against a good doing God. Do you grieve because of your sin against the commandments of God? And do you grieve also because of your sin of unbelief? This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Godly sorrow is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that fruit? And if you have that fruit of godly sorrow, you may know you have the Holy Spirit in you. What's another fruit? And yes, there's many I can mention, but just a few tonight. What's another one? What do those sinners begin to long for? They begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. They desire to be holy, because there's love in their heart, and they want to serve the Lord. They want to live holy. They search the scriptures. They want to know the truth, and the Holy Spirit guides them in the truth. And what is the truth? What is the will of God? And they want to obey the will of God. They hunger and thirst for righteousness. Open your Bible, please, to Ezekiel 36. What do we read in Ezekiel 36 of those whom God puts the Holy Spirit in them? What do we read in verse 27? And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And because the Lord put his law in them by the power of the Holy Spirit, they begin to long to live according to the word. They begin to hunger and thirst after righteousness. What is that? To live according to the will of God. To be holy. What is the effect in them? By that Holy Spirit coming, giving life, there's godly sorrow, there's hunger and thirst after righteousness, his law is planted in them. What is the fruit? What do they learn about self? Do they get better and better and better? A bigger Christian? More righteous? No. They die more and more to self. And what do we read further in Ezekiel in verse 31? Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good. And now listen. And shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. My friend, do you know of godly sorrow that you sin against a good-doing God? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you long to live according to the will of God? And that you see in that way of longing, that you see so much sin, not only what you have done, what you do, but also what you remain to be. And do you know what we read, the work of the Holy Spirit, that you begin to loathe yourself? That's a very strong word of hatred. A holy hatred, a good hatred of hating sin, of hating your flesh. Do you know this? Do you desire to live according to the will of God? Do you long to obey Him, to serve Him? These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. If this is your life, if this is in the depth of your heart, maybe it's hidden at times, and yet at other times, it's burning more brightly. And yet the essentials is there. It's because of the Holy Spirit given upon the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. So why does the Holy Spirit convict of sin? Why does the Holy Spirit lead to mourning in self? Why does the Holy Spirit work in them that they hunger and thirst for righteousness, and at the same time they feel absolutely unrighteous? At the same time they feel so absolutely sinful and unholy and more unholy and more sinful in their whole being. And why do sinners, by the work of the Holy Spirit, begin to loathe themselves? What's the purpose? What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit given to sinners to teach them of these things and many more things? What's the purpose? There's a purpose, congregation. Because why is the Holy Spirit given? There's a purpose. Before we go to that part, let us first sing Psalter 141, stanzas 1 and 2. Psalter 141, stanzas 1 and 2. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee. Let thy spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart. Steadfast make my willing heart. Psalter 141, stanzas 1 and 2, standing.
Thank you.
confession of faith in the Holy Spirit. We've considered a little of something of who the Holy Spirit is, and a little something of why he is given, that he's given, but also what those fruits are of those that may know that he is given unto them. But now why? What's the purpose? What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit be given unto them? To give them new life? To raise them from being dead? And what's the purpose that they're convicted of their sin? To give them life, to lead them to him who is life. That's the whole purpose. That's the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit. To give them life, and through those lessons, to lead them to him who is life. Because what sinner, even though he hears the law, he never becomes guilty. And though he hears the glorious truths of all the blessings of the gospel, by nature we have no hunger and we have no need for the precious Savior. But the Holy Spirit is given to give life, to lead to death in self, to lead to him who is life. The Holy Spirit convicts sinners of their sins with a purpose. He convicts them that they must be righteous and that they are only unrighteous. It's all filthy rags. And he teaches them that they are wretched in self. Is that how you feel tonight? Are you just becoming more wretched, more unrighteous, more of a sinner in everything? You can't do anything good? That's good, congregation. Because I may believe from the word of God, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, that they lead to death. Because that's the only way we want life, life from another. Otherwise we have life in self. And there is no room for that precious Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, that good shepherd, he knows who his sheep are. He knows what they need. He seeks them and he finds them and he renews them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he empties them of everything of self. Why? To fill them with himself. That they may hunger and thirst for everything in him. And in him alone, because he's the only foundation and the complete foundation. No, we cannot have a little piece of our righteousness and need him as our righteousness. No, because either he is a full and complete Savior or he is not a Savior at all. The Holy Spirit has a purpose. Do you see that full salvation in that triune God? That overflowing fountain of all good. He has chosen a people and he will save that people. He will renew them and he will lead them to that only Savior Jesus Christ who has paid it all. To lead unto him and all his benefits. Because they have no benefits to present to God. It's all polluted and the Lord is not satisfied with it at all. Because he needs his justice satisfied. And even the true experience that God works by the Holy Spirit. Even those marks of grace. Those true fruits. Yes, it's worked by the Holy Spirit. But it's not their foundation of salvation. And what a painful lesson to learn. Even though I have the fruits. Even though I know something of misery, deliverance, and gratitude. Even though I know, by that work of the Holy Spirit, sin grieves me. I have godly sorrow. I thirst for God. I hunger and thirst for righteousness. There is yet in me no foundation. The Holy Spirit has a purpose. The purpose. He convicts of sin, but the purpose is what? What did the Lord Jesus Christ expressly say? Again, what we read in verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And it's displayed in the preaching of the gospel. But by nature, our eyes are blind. We hear it, but we don't see it. We need our eyes open for self to see who we are. But also that all those works, marks, and fruits are not sufficient to remove that justice of God, that he must be satisfied, that sin must be paid, and that there's only one way back to God,
And that is through his Son. And that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. To convict of sin and to continually convict and to convict and to convict and to strip and to strip and to make emptier and emptier. So we're led to only one place. As we read in that beautiful form in the Holy Supper, the midst of death. Now, who likes to be in the midst of death of self? We don't want to be there at all, and we will fight. By nature, we only resist, and even after grace, we want to hold on to this, and we want to hold on to that. But we need to be brought, humbled, that we become absolutely lost, and in ourselves, only ungodly. Because that's the way he becomes so sweet, so necessary, so suitable, and he becomes so precious. So what a blessed work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, he's that one who convicts, leads to death, and shows and declares. May I say it this way? He shines the spotlight on that precious Savior of sinners and all his beauties and all those benefits that they need to have to be reconciled with God, but they don't have any of it. What do they need? What are those benefits? He convicts them of sin. He shows them of their unrighteousnesses. And he, the Holy Spirit, shows that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Lord, our righteousness. And that he has that clothing to clothe sinners who only have filthy rags. Is that you? You have nothing to present to the Lord? Have you learned that? Have you seen that you become only filthy, unrighteous, even after grace? After all those years, you have only nothing? The purpose is that you may need, see, believe, and rejoice in that righteousness which is not in you, but is only in him who is the Lord, our righteousness. The Holy Spirit teaches them that they must pay for their sin, that God is holy and he demands a payment. And they also are taught they have nothing to pay him. What a painful thing. You need something. You need to have something. And you have nothing to pay. But that's the purpose, to show, to reveal, to lead away from self, to death, and that you have nothing, to lead to that only Savior. That's the purpose. That's a blessed purpose. Because by nature, we try to pay with so many things. But what do we find? Our pockets are empty. And that's good. Empty pockets. And yet needing to be righteous. Needing to be righteous with God. And that is the way he makes room for that payment. For that unspeakable payment of the Lord Jesus Christ. That payment of his blood. Because what sinner needs the blood of Jesus Christ? We can speak about it. We can read it, we can hear it, it sounds wonderful, we can agree with it, but in the heart, is there that true faith, that real need for that blood to be washed, that nothing else can wash you, but only his blood? And it's through him, through that Spirit that teaches of that only way of being brought back in favor with God upon the merits of Jesus Christ. He's given to be made partakers of those benefits of Jesus Christ. He gives faith. And he gives that faith to be an exercise, to believe who you are, to believe who God is, but also to believe the record of God's word of his precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That through him, there is reconciliation for a hell-worthy, unrighteous, ungodly sinner that only learns I more and more sin. The purpose is that Jesus Christ is glorified, exalted, needed, lived close to, abiding in him, and needing him for everything, and that without him, you can do nothing. But without him, you have nothing, that he's the way of joy, of peace, of everything. What blessed benefits in that precious mediator. And the Holy Spirit is given to give life, spiritual life, to convict of sin, to strip. Why? To lead to that only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to lead to that place. What a precious text. Romans 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. And notice, we read, by a true faith. A true faith. That's the essential. No, it doesn't say a large faith. It doesn't say a big faith. It says a true faith. And that faith, poor sinner, may be so small. And that faith may cause you to tremble so much. But the essential, is it true? Are you completely lost in self? And are you longing, looking, waiting, hoping only in another, in that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? And that without Him, you will perish. That's the purpose. That's what the Holy Spirit leads to death and self, to life completely in that only Savior. Do you see the essential work of the Holy Spirit that works irresistibly to give life, but that continues irresistibly to conquer that heart, to take away all the weapons of resistance, to lead to that place of death, to lead to that only one, that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because no sinner will ever give himself life. No sinner will ever become completely lost without the work of the Holy Spirit. No sinner will be stripped of self and longing to be clothed with Jesus Christ of himself. Without the Lord work of the Spirit, we may hear of him. We may even have some joy, as we read in that parable of the seed. They heard the word and anon they rejoiced. But there's no depth because they missed the work of the Holy Spirit. That breaking of the ground, that breaking of the heart, that convicting of sin and leading to death. But those who have the true work of the Holy Spirit are made alive, stripped, brought to death. And they, by the Spirit, by that Spirit that plants faith and gives faith, begin to believe in that only Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you see why Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 9? Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. My friend, you need the work of the Holy Spirit. And in the Almighty God is complete salvation. In the work of the Father, he who thought of his people. In the work of his Son, who bought his people. But also in that work of the Holy Spirit, who wrought, who works in them. Giving life, leading to death and self, to find complete life in that complete Savior. To comfort them. To comfort them and to abide with them. To comfort them. My friend, do you long for comfort? Do you need comfort? Do you need comfort for your soul? They are a lost sinner. And those people learn. They try to find comfort in this and in that. But they learn there's no comfort. Someone can say, but I trust you're a child of God. Does that really give them comfort? No. They want to hear one. They want to have the testimony of one. They want to hear that voice of the Good Shepherd. Through the word, for example, that he would say, I am thy salvation. Oh, that voice. Oh, that word for their soul. That would be such a comfort. And when he comes, and when he speaks through his word, and speaks, and they hear it, for example, for a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee, saith thy Redeemer. When he comes, oh, that breaks the heart. And it gives such a comfort that nothing else in this world could ever give. You can listen to all kinds of voices. You can listen to the minister say, but I think that doesn't help. And that's why I'm afraid to speak and to say, I listen when you visit me. And I'm afraid to lay hands on quickly But you go, and I just pray for you. Lord, come. Comfort that sinner. From my side, I can see it sometimes. What they share, they pour out their hearts, and you can listen. And you can hear. That's the life of the work of the Spirit. But I'm not the Spirit. I can't apply. I can't comfort. So I beg, Lord, work. Comfort that poor sinner. That only comfort that thou can give, that he may hear your voice, that she may hear thy voice through the word. Because that will comfort. No man can comfort, no matter who he is. But also to abide with him. He will abide with them. And because he abides with them, they will never, ever go lost. Never. Are you afraid of your flesh? Afraid, Church of God? Poor sinner, are you afraid of your flesh that you will perish? He abides, and he abides forever. They have the Comforter at the right hand of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Comforter right hand of the Father, and they have the Comforter that abides in them. And that a Comforter that abides in them, he shows unto them, he declares unto them who that precious Savior is, and he will abide, and he will never leave. Yes, when they sin, his influence of joy may withdraw. But then he leads them to repentance again. He helps them in prayer. He will continue to be with them. And they're temples of the Holy Spirit. What a blessed people. What a blessed people. Do you see the wonder, the beauty of a triune God, of complete salvation for complete lost sinners through the Father, through the Son, and the Holy Spirit? You need the Holy Spirit. And that is why we so often beg, Holy Spirit, work mightily, insistibly, apply the word. Because without that Spirit, we may have the Lamb, but we also need the Spirit, because the Spirit leads to the Lamb, and he glorifies the Lamb. And he applies who the Lamb is to poor, wretched sinners. My friend, do you have the Holy Spirit? Are you afraid you don't? You may ask for him. Did you hear me? You may ask for him. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said you may ask for him. Listen. Listen to what we read in Luke 11 verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask for him? Do you fear you missed the Holy Spirit? Take the word of God home on your knees and this text. And you may say in prayer, and I mean it with much reverence, I heard that I may ask. And thou wilt give, Lord, I beg thee. I beg thee for that work of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit that can only give me life. And lead me to that only precious Savior. And show who he is unto me. Do you miss the Holy Spirit? Beg him for the Holy Spirit. A Church of God. What an abundance of grace in the triune God. He gives. He gives everything. And we may be recipients. Did you hear it? He gives everything. And sinners are recipients. Are you the recipient of his grace? Of that love of God the Father? That he sent his Son. Do you see it? It comes from God the Father. That he sent his Son. That he's that fountain. That overflowing fountain of all good and love. That he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that he sent his Son so that they may have life. And the Son, in his abundant mercy and grace, willingly came. He willingly came to what? To fulfill the law for transgressors. To what? To be in that place for wicked sinners who have nothing, who must pay and must fulfill the law, but cannot and will not and have nothing to pay. He gave everything. He suffered. He died. He gave his body to be broken. And he gave his blood. He gave everything. But also the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, sheep of the Good Shepherd, that he came and gave you life. You were lying in the midst of death, cast out in thy own blood. But the Holy Spirit came and gave life, and he led you. How far has he led you? Has he led you to that Savior? Has he? Beg him. Beg him, lead me, take me, show me, reveal. Beg. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, he shall show, glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Beg him. Lord, I'm a lost sinner. I need a Savior. I can't find him. I can't see him. I can't. I open the Bible. I don't see him. I can't find him. Beg him, that Holy Spirit, to show him unto you, to reveal him unto you, because you can find him. As one said, in the swaddling clothes of those pages of the precious Word of God, he's to be found in the Scripture. Congregation, read your Bible. Search the Scriptures, because they testify of Jesus Christ, and beg the Holy Spirit to teach you who you are, but also to reveal, to glorify, to declare, to show unto you that precious Savior, full salvation in a triune God for complete lost sinners. What a precious gospel. And it will be all to the glory of God. And they will enter. He will dwell in them and abide with them until they're brought into glory. And then they will forever praise him, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Will you be there? Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee, work mightily, irresistibly by the Holy Spirit, that Spirit that alone can give life to dead sinners, that Holy Spirit that convicts and convinces of sin, but also of unbelief, and leads, strips, and makes ready empties to fill with him who is life, to fill with him who's that precious mediator. O Lord, we beg thee, work mightily, irresistibly in this congregation by thy word and by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. Give life to dead sinners, Lord, for thy glory and for their eternal welfare. And take those poor, needy, wretched, guilty, lost sinners who can find nothing in self. Lead them to that place, to him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. O Lord, by thy work of thy Holy Spirit, wilt thou show unto us those beauties of him again and again, and speak unto our hearts that precious gospel, and speak and say, I am thy salvation, that we may have that comfort that thou alone can give. Lord, remember us in this week, all that is planned, a funeral. Remember the mourning family. Remember us when we may meet on Tuesday for our male members. May it be testified that it was good to be together as one household in unity and in love, praying and caring for each other, and direct all things to thy honor and to thy glory. And may, if it is in thy will, we be brought again in the midweek for a service. Give opening. Guide to a word to proclaim. May there be much prayer. Lord, we beg thee for thy name's sake, and may we acknowledge thee for this day to be in thy house, to hear thy precious word, and the way that thou works to lead to thyself through thy Son. Lord, without thee we can do nothing. All the honor and the glory be unto thee. Forgive us of all our sins, we ask. For Jesus' sake alone, amen. Let us close now in singing from Psalter 374, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. O praise ye the name of Jehovah, proclaim ye his glory abroad. O praise him, ye servants appointed to stand in the house of our God, 374, 1, 4, and 5.
Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.